Mark chapter 12, beginning with the 28th verse. Mark 12:28 says this: One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" Verse 29. "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is like it: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." "Well said, teacher," the man replied. "You're right in saying that God is one, and there's no other but Him. To love Him with all your heart, and all your understanding, and all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself, is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." And when Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to them, "You're not far from the kingdom of God." And from then on, no one dared ask him any more questions. This passage is familiar to a lot of us. It's also recorded in Matthew chapter 22, where Jesus is asked, "What is the greatest commandment in all of the Old Testament, with all of the laws and all the commandments? What's the greatest? What's the most important? What is it that if I want to be a follower of you, what is it that if I want to please God, what is the most important commandment for me to follow? What would have the greatest weight? What would have the greatest importance? As I interact with people on a daily basis, what would it be that I would measure my life by? What is it, God, that you would measure my life by? What's the greatest commandment?" And Jesus says this: "To love the Lord your God with your whole being." And the way he says that is all of your heart and all of your soul and all of your mind and all of your strength. And the second is just like it, because to love God is to love your neighbor as yourself. And what I want to encourage us to do today is that it's important, as familiar as this passage is, and as much as we would know that and say even without even thinking about it, that God's desire is for us to love Him and to love other people. And we know that. But it's important for us to stop, to halt, and consider and measure our lives by the impact of that, by the weight of that, by the importance of that. The word is the greatest. So if it's the greatest, then it's the most important. And it's important for us to slow down and consider, where am I and what would God have me be and to do when it comes to love? Just like you would go and have a checkup at the doctor, and part of that checkup would be to measure your heart rate. It's important for us to stop occasionally and to measure ourselves and to do a checkup and to say, "God, look at the importance of the things that are on my heart. And you say that the most important thing for me to do, the greatest thing, is to love you with everything and to love people. How am I doing at that?" A lot of you are familiar with 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It's referred to a lot of times as the love chapter. And Paul talks extensively in 1 Corinthians 13 about what love is and what love looks like. In the very last sentence of that chapter, he says, "And there abides faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love." And so we see it not only from Jesus, but we see it in the writings later from other people as they say the greatest of these is love. Now, when Jesus said to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, he was actually quoting the Old Testament. He was quoting Deuteronomy chapter 6. It's mentioned many times. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, Moses says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." We need to love Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And when he says, "Love your neighbor as yourself," he's quoting Leviticus. And Moses also wrote Leviticus. And Moses said, "Love your neighbor as yourself." Deuteronomy and Leviticus were written 1,500 years before Jesus is speaking here in Mark. And so for 1,500 years, the nation of Israel had known that it is important to love the Lord our God with all of who we are and to love our neighbor as ourself. That wasn't a new teaching. But I want you to look at this passage. Let's turn to John chapter 13. And this is new. Jesus adds something new to this teaching, and he says, "I give you a new commandment." John chapter 13, verse 34. John 13, beginning in 34. Let's begin in 33. John 13:33 says this, "My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I'm going, you cannot come." Now let me set this up. Jesus is talking with the disciples, and this is the night before he's arrested. So these are some of the last things he has to share with them. Beginning in verse 34, he says this, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know that you're my disciples if you love one another." Now look at verse 34. He says, "A new command I give you, love one another." Well, is that really new? I mean, Moses had written those words in Leviticus chapter 19, 1500 years before Jesus had mentioned it to followers of his in Mark. And now he's in John and he's saying, here's a new commandment. But I want you to look at it. A new command, verse 34, "I give you, love one another as I've loved you. So you must love one another." What's the new part? Jesus says this. We've talked about love. Our people have talked about love. And we've tried to live out love. And you've heard about love. And you know the importance of love. And you've heard and you've... And Moses even said, "Let this be on your hearts. Talk about this when you walk along the road and when you rise up and when you lay down. And instill this into the lives of your children. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength." That's been ingrained in us from the very beginning to do that. But a new commandment I give you is this. A new way of measuring the way that you love other people is love one another as I have loved you. And so all of a sudden, it's a new teaching. Because before, there was a knowledge that, yes, I need to love God. And what that means is I need to follow Him and I need to please Him and I need to do the things that He wants me to do. And I need to love my neighbor and I need to be kind to them and I need to put them before myself and I need to be selfless. That is love. But then Jesus shows up and He says, here's a whole new definition. And the definition is this. I want you to love each other the way I've loved you. And what was that? It was a whole different kind of love. It was a new command. It's one that took Jesus all the way to the cross. I'm going to make three statements about love this morning. It's what we're going to look at. And the first one is this. Love is a conscious effort. Love is a conscious effort. It's intentional. The romantic notion would be that, as we would say, I love you. It's words. It's what we're saying is when we make love a conscious effort, when it's intentional, when we make an effort to love someone, it's not passive. It's very specific. Love is a conscious effort. We make a decision to love someone. The romantic notion is I love you. It's words. It's kind of passive. It's mainly in words. But to really love someone, we talked about this earlier, the word that I want you to remember this morning, if you remember anything about loving people, the word that I want you to hang on to is to consider. Consider. Consider when I encounter someone else, how is it that I need to love this person? Consider how I need to love the people at home, which sometimes are the greatest challenge to love, not because they're difficult, but just because it's so easy to take the people at home for granted. It's easy to identify the person that's difficult to love, but in all cases, consider. Consider. Stop and think about how is it that I need to love this person? What is it that God wants me to do? What attitude should I have? What words should come to my mouth? How should I serve this person? Consider. Because it's easy for me, as I know it's for you. I walk through life most of the time very self-centered. And what the Spirit does in our lives is He slows us down. And He stops us, not just when we're alone with Him, when we have the Bible and when we're praying, but He does that. He can do that multiple times through the day. And we stop and we consider. We consider how it is that God wants me to live. How it is that He wants me to love this person. Consider. Love is a conscious effort. Listen to Jesus. We read this just now, John 13:34-33. "My children," Jesus said this, "I will be with you only a little bit longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I'm going, you cannot come." What's Jesus doing? What's He talking about? Where I'm going, you can't come. You see, Jesus had already given forethought. He had already considered how He was going to love us, how He was going to love those disciples. Listen to this, John 14, verse 1. Don't let your hearts be troubled. This is Jesus speaking. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there. Listen to what he's considering. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come back and take you to be with me so that where I am, you may be also. You know the place to the place I'm going. Listen, the cross was a conscious effort. Jesus considered it way ahead of time. It was a conscious effort. So we ask ourselves, as we encounter people, do I love this person? Am I encountering this person from selfish motivations? Am I encountering this person from my insecurities or from what I can get from them? Or am I asking, how is it that God wants me to love this person? I mentioned 1 Corinthians 13 a while ago where Paul writes that love chapter and he describes love. I want you to listen to this description in 1 Corinthians 13 verse 4. Love is patient. Love is kind. Now, I'm going to stop right there and I want to ask you if any of that stuff comes natural to you, okay? Love is patient. Love is kind. As he begins to describe what love looks like, for me, it just screams, make a conscious effort, because none of that comes natural for me. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It's not rude. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. I'll be going to a baseball tournament this afternoon. I'll have to make a conscious effort to not be easily angered. It'll happen. Those words just come out. Oh, what are you thinking? And then I think, don't say that. Then I turn right back around and say, it's the worst call I've seen all day. I'll do it with a smile. I just do that here. It's important to consider. It's important to consider when I walk into a person's life that may be more difficult than other people in my life. It's important to consider when I walk home and those people that are so easily to take for granted. It's important to consider when I walk into a situation, when you walk into a situation where you're thinking, before you walk in, God, how would you have me love these people? How would you have me love these children? How would you have me display your love to strangers that don't know me? Consider. Love is a conscious effort. We have to make a conscious effort. The word to remember is consider. The second statement about love that I want to make is not only is love a conscious effort, but love is action. Love is action. And probably one of the best passages, and if you've got your Bible with you, you can turn to Ephesians chapter 5 because I don't want you to miss this. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 25. Paul here is very specific about what it means. A while ago I was talking about love is making a conscious effort, but it's also making an active effort. It's not passive. It's very specific and it's active. It's not just saying I love you with words only, but it's taking some initiative to do something in someone's life. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, and Paul's writing to husbands and wives here, and he's very specific about taking action. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 25 says this: husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church. Very specific. And gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but listen to how specific he is here. No one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it, just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body. Did you hear that? Jesus said, Paul says this, husbands, when it comes to your wives, and the principle here is for all of us, when it comes to your wives, husbands, love her as Christ loved the church. Remember when Jesus said, this is a new command I give you, love each other as I've loved you. That's the measuring stick now. That's the way you measure what love looks like. And Paul says this to husbands, I want you to love your wives just as Christ loved the church. That's the way I want your life to look, as you live out your life day to day. As you make decisions, as you build your home the way you want to look it to look, as you're a witness to other people, as other people see you, the way I want them to see you is I want them to see the way Jesus gave His life for us. Husbands, love your wives just like Christ loved the church. It was a conscious effort that took Him all the way to the cross. I want you to love her in a conscious effort. I want you to love her actively. And then He says this. He goes on to say, I want you to love her just like you would love your own body. And then He gets real specific and He says, no one ever hated his own body. But what does he do? He feeds and cares for it. So what's he saying? Listen, you know this just like I do. When you get hungry, what do you want to do? You want to find something to satisfy your hunger. When you get cold, one of the first things you think about is you want to get warm. When you get hot, you want to get cool. When you get tired, you want to find rest. And Paul says this, just the way that you would care for your body, husbands, and the principle is here Jesus would say, as we love other people, just as quickly as you would think about the way that you would care for your own body, think that quickly about how you would care for the person who's in your life right now. Think about what their needs are. Is there need to have a listening ear? Maybe it's the best way you can love somebody. Maybe the best way you can invite someone into a relationship of love is to say, you know what, I just want to hear your story. It's one of the greatest gifts you'll ever offer anybody. Your ear, your time, your willingness to hear their story. Sometimes it's a specific act of meeting a need. Sometimes it's loving them with your words. Sometimes it's loving them with your action. And Paul says this, I want you to think as quickly as you would. This is the way we measure that active love. You want to eat, you want to get rest, you want to get warm, you want to get cool. What about the people around you? What is it that they need? Husbands, what is it that your wife needs? How would you love her? This past week we took several days off and we went to see my parents in North Carolina. They live in the mountains. And one of the days that we were there, we went hiking and we went to a fall. A waterfall called Linville Falls. And it's not a long hike. It's like a mile in and a mile out, though it's kind of a steep grade going in. And so we had eaten lunch kind of early, and we were doing this in the afternoon. We'd driven up there. We went on the parkway, stopped at a few places, went on up to Linville Falls, hiked up there, spent some time going to different overlooks, hiked all the way back, got back and decided, you know what? I think what we're going to do for supper tonight is we're going to pick up some chicken, and we already had some vegetables at home. We're going to pick up some chicken, and we're going to eat. And as the day went on, I'm telling you, feeding my body, caring for my body became a big priority for me. I was getting hungry, and I don't know about you, but when I get hungry, I get impatient. And when I get hungry, my fuse is just a little bit shorter, and so I'm aware of that, and I'm trying to be, you know, trying to make a conscious effort, but that kind of goes out the window after about 2 hours of being hungry. So we get home, we drop the kids off, drop some people off, my dad and I go, we go pick up some chicken. We have to wait a really long time. We get it, we take it back to the house, and I want to tell you something. I came in the door, I laid the chicken down, I got my plate. I mean, I was just getting chicken, and the only thing I could say was, y'all come, if you want some, y'all just come on in here, because I'm getting mine, and I'm going to go eat because I'm hungry and I'm going to come back in a minute and I'm going to get me some more. There wasn't thinking about anybody else. I was hungry. There was nobody else's needs that I was considering at all. I was hungry. I'd had a long day. I went to get chicken and I was going to kick probably little kids out of the way to be able to get what I need to go out on the back porch so I knew I already had in mind, I already envisioned what the second helping was going to look like, and I just wanted to get my chicken. I mentioned a while ago we've been in a baseball tournament this weekend, and so you know what the weather's been like this weekend. We kind of saw that on the forecast. You know, it's going to be like 94, 95, 96, coming down to Emory Road on Friday night. I don't know if it was accurate, but the bank read 101. Had a game on Friday. We knew we had like three or four games on Saturday, and so I went to Walmart and I bought one of those canopies. You know, one of those 10x10 canopies where you can sit in the shade. I don't know why we haven't bought one all year because we've had all these tournaments. And I went and bought that because I thought, you know, if we're going to have three or four games tomorrow, we're going to cook in the sun. Actually, what I was thinking, I'm going to cook in the sun. And so I'd gone to that game on Friday night and sweated like crazy. And it was hot. And so I said, I'm going to go get one of these. And I went and got a canopy and bought it. And I thought, oh, this is going to be great. And so Penny, my wife, went to early the first game. And she took it. And she had it set up. And we called each other a couple times to find out how the game was going. So I was going to make it to the second game. And I said, well, you got that canopy set up, right? You got me a chair in there, right? Because when I get there, my needs are I'm going to be hot. And I want to be cool. And I don't care how many grandmas came to the game who had to sit in the sun, I'll be kicking them out of the way when I get there because I want my chair under my canopy. And when I got there and I got out of the car, and you know, God just reminded me of all this last night and today as I was preparing for this sermon. But I got there yesterday, all I'm looking as I get out of the car is canopy, my chair, canopy, my chair. Why? Because I'm thinking of my needs. I'm thinking about what's going to make me cool. I'm thinking about what's going to help me. I'm not, and literally, I'm thinking, I don't care how many other people are here, how many other parents are here, grandparents are here. I need my shade. And Jesus says this, it's so easy and so natural. In fact, it is natural for us to think of our needs first. And don't put yourself on some huge guilt trip that, oh my goodness, I'm always just thinking about my needs and never anybody else's. It's natural. It's part of our nature. It's part of our sin nature. Part of it's healthy that we take care of ourselves. But Jesus says, this is what I want you to consider. I want you to begin to train yourself from now through the rest of your life. That a little bit just each day, I want you to consider other people. I want you to begin to put your needs secondary and other needs primary. And I want you to think about how you're going to encounter people and how you're going to love them. And love is active. It's not passive. It's not saying, I love everybody. I love my family. I love the people at the ballpark. I love everybody in halls and palace. It's not that. How will I love people specifically? How will I love them in action? And that's what Paul says. Let's love other people just like we would care for our own body. Last thing is this. Third statement about love is not only is it a conscious, intentional effort, not only is it active. And this is something, I don't know if I've ever made this a point in a sermon before, but the reality is and the truth is that love is emotional. Love is emotional. And that could be one of those cans that I could open that would really be just really open for misinterpretation because there's so many tags and there's so many definitions that we can use for what it means to be emotional. Some people, naturally, just by their personality, don't show a lot of emotion. Some people, just by their personality, show a lot of emotion. Some people we tag with being too emotional. Some people we tag with not showing enough emotion. But wherever you come from, and I'm not trying to prescribe one set of emotions, and my intention is not to say that there's one way of showing emotion or there's a certain amount that we need to show or a way that we need to show it. But what I'm saying is this, when we love somebody, it's emotional. It's just a reality. It's a byproduct. It's part of the definition of what it means to love someone. Remember what Jesus said? Remember what Moses said? Love the Lord your God with all of your what? All of your heart and all of your soul. Love God from the deepest part of your emotions. Love Him with all of your passion and all of your excitement and all of your joy. Love him with everything that you are. I don't know if you remember that story about the prodigal son who left his father and his brother and his family. And if you're not, just let me set this up for you. A son came to his father and he said, Father, I want my inheritance. And the father doesn't think it's a wise decision. He thinks he's too young. And he says, why don't you stay with the family? I don't think your maturity is ready to deal with the weight of what your inheritance would bring you. I think your maturity, both where you are in life and spiritually, you probably will make a lot of really bad decisions. But it's your right. And his son said, I still want it. And so, like a lot of us parents, we let our kids make some decisions because they need to make those decisions. And so he took his money and he went off. He did exactly what his father had predicted. He made a lot of really bad decisions. He spent all of his money. It was all gone. He was in a far-off land. He had wasted it on all kinds of wild living and And even he had been doing this kind of lifestyle for so long that he didn't even think about the fact that he had a father that loved him. He just said, I need to get a job. And so he went and got a job feeding pigs, one of the lowest jobs that he could have gotten. And so he goes and he gets this job. And while he's feeding these pigs with no money, no place to live, nothing to eat, and the Scripture says that he longed to fill his stomach with what the pigs were eating, the Scripture says he came to his senses. It means that God spoke to his conscience. And he came to his senses and he thought, what am I doing here? I've just been so accustomed to being away from God and away from my family for so long and doing things on my own that I got this job on my own. I've got a father back home that loves me. And in humility, he said, I'm going to go home and I'm just going to say to my father, I don't even deserve to be called your son. I'll bunk with the ranchers. I'll do all of the hard work. I know that I've wasted everything. I'm not coming with any sort of pride. I'm coming in total humility, and I don't have any expectations of what you're going to do for me. I want you to look at Luke chapter 15, verse 17. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I'll set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. And so he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, and I want you to listen to the father. Love is emotional. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. And he ran to his son and he threw his arms around him and he kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And so they began to do what? They began to celebrate. And can't you imagine yourself being with that father all those days, all those years that the son was gone, and he went out to the porch and he just surveyed the horizon day after day after day. And there were lines in his face and there were heavy sighs and there were sleepless nights. And all of a sudden, this son whom he loved, he sees. What does he do? He runs to him. And he throws his arms around him and he loves him with compassion and excitement and joy and love. What am I saying? When we love people, it needs to be from the deepest parts of our emotions. It needs to be from the deepest parts of our hearts. And we need to be able to be willing to express that, to express it in a way that's appropriate. And in a way that says, this is the love of God that I have for you. Listen, that same kind of love God has for you. He's an emotional God in the best way possible. Does that make sense? Jesus went to the death of Lazarus. Lazarus had died, his good friend. Martha and Mary came out to meet Jesus and they said, Jesus, if you had been here, our brother wouldn't have died. And you know what the Scripture says? Listen to this very quickly and I'll end with this. John chapter 11. Listen, just we'll look at it on the screen. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He said. Come and see, Lord, they replied. Jesus wept. And then the Jews said, see how he loved him. Jesus loved Lazarus. And when he saw those people walking to Lazarus' grave, and when he saw Mary and Martha, Lazarus' sisters, he was moved with compassion. His spirit was moved. And he began to weep. And the Jews said, see how he loved him. Listen, Jesus said this, there's a new commandment that I give you. There's been a way that you've measured what love is, but the new way that I want you to measure love is this. I want you to love other people the way I've loved you. And the way I've loved you is this. It's been intentional. It's been active. It's been emotional. So what I want to encourage you folks today is this, is for all of us The word to remember this morning is consider. Consider. Consider and make a conscious effort as we walk into the lives of people. How is it that Jesus would want me to love this person like He's loved me? Let's pray together.